I labeled this stumbling block. And have you ever stumbled? And I think we probably all can relate to some stumbling. Maybe some of us that have struggled with alcohol or substances, we can relate to the stumbling of gravity a lot better and have known that challenge. But, you know, even the stumbling of walking across a room and hitting your toe on the foot of the coffee table and screaming and shouting and hopping across the room to the couch, or I remember one day I was running up the stairs and I hit one of the stairs and stumbled halfway up the stairs and bloodied my toe. And I remember once I was in our downstairs stairwell and I'm trying to change a light bulb, but I needed a chair to do that. And right when I changed it, I fell off the chair and I cracked my shin on the top step where the metal part is. I still have that mark today. Yes. Or have you ever seen a baseball player rounding second and his feet get away from him and the million-dollar player goes down? Pretty comical. Or the best I find is the equestrians, the beautiful horses showing off and all the dressed up people, and the horse doesn't quite make that bush fence and the water. And anyway, it makes for great YouTube experiences. My son watches a show. It's about a skateboarder who makes his living showing people stumbling and falling, and it's a whole show about it. It seems like a bad thing. It's comical. You can actually get hurt. It's awkward looking, but kind of funny if you're not the one stumbling. It's embarrassing if people are watching. I find like if I stumble, I kind of look around like, did anybody catch that? Okay, we're good. Ow, I'm bleeding. No one likes to stumble. I think when you stumble, the act itself is actually telling you that you're doing something wrong. That's basically what that's telling you. Maybe it's saying you're out of your league in what you're trying to do. Not necessarily climbing steps, but it's actually telling you your ability does not exceed the trial that you're putting it through. So Mr. Webster defines stumbling as falling into sin or waywardness, to make an error, blunder. That's a good word. We can all use that down maybe today. Quite the blunder. To trip in walking or running, to walk unsteadily or clumsy, to speak or act in a hesitant or faltering manner. So if we can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 4. And what's your title of that section? Does anybody have a title for that?
It says, Living Stones for God's House.
Excellent. Anybody else? Great.
A living stone and a chosen people.
Okay. Good. So we'll pick it up in verse 4. And we'll see what Jesus and the Bible has to say about stumbling. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. But now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." And so I look at that concept of stumbling. It's a bad thing. It's an embarrassing thing. It's the kind of thing that tells you you might not be doing something properly. And then I look at what it says about Jesus. And it's saying that Jesus is our stumbling stone. He's the cornerstone of which the house is built on. But what it's saying is that Jesus is really our stumbling stone. And I kind of like kind of made me confused because it's kind of a back-ended statement. I would think like the devil's the guy that makes you stumble and looks like a fool and causes problems. But I looked at what stumbling could mean in this context. And because God has made us in a spirit and because our spirit has a conscience, I think some of the times that I feel anxious, I feel fearful, I feel resent or guilt or just missing a spiritual blessing or having to take care of myself and not letting God do the job. I think I don't want those things, and I think they make me stumble. They make me be independent or isolated, and I don't want that stuff. Matthew 7 says, "Narrow is the gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many may enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So it's an interesting concept. The main path is really wide that enters into destruction, but small is the gate that leads to life. What is life? What is life? And to me, it's just the peace and the joy of living a normal life, a life that's simple, a life that you're not striving, you're not trying to prove yourself, you feel accepted, all that stuff. I think that's the kind of life that they're talking about. And I related this to, I have the picture of rumble strips. If anybody's driven a car, and with multimedia nowadays, you got the radio that you're listening to, you got an incoming text message that you're trying to ignore, you got something else going on, and then all of a sudden, what's that noise? And it's, what is it telling you? Hey, get back on the road, right? My dad, if you've ever driven with my dad, he knows all about those rumble strips. I think they were created. I remember I used to drive a tractor trailer, and I did a lot of night stuff, and I drove a tow truck before that. And I remember with the tow truck, if it's cold and snowy, it's a nonstop working environment, and there's tow calls and pull starts and pulling people out of the ditch. And I remember I was probably on day two of being awake, and I had to go up to Renfrew and pick up a tractor trailer there and tow it back to Ottawa. And I remember being so tired, and I remember hearing the rumble strips. And I open my eyes, and I have a guy behind me, and he's flashing his high beams. I don't know what I was doing before the rumble strips, but the rumble strips actually was the cause of me getting back on the straight and narrow. And I think this is what the concept is, what I wanted to teach on, is Jesus is that rumble strip. Jesus is the one that wants us to stay on that straight and narrow. Jesus is the one that designed us and for us to live for him. So he knows how he wants us to live. He set it out for us. And I think he gives us those encouragements, whether, I don't know what you feel, but I'll feel anxiety. Hey, that's a rumble strip. I'll feel anger. I'll feel resentment. Rumble strip, rumble strip. Whatever else you may feel, that could be your rumble strip. So maybe identify your rumble strips. Right now, just ask God to reveal those rumble strips for you. Matthew 22, the greatest commandment. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is like this. It's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. What's going on over there? Are you guys loving each other?
Loving your neighbor.
Hey, love your neighbor after I'm done talking. No, I'm just kidding. What, and I want to look at that, the second command. And we'll call my wife, my beautiful companion of life who has stood through me thick and thin. We'll call her my neighbor.
Did you just call me thick?
This is not in the notes. How how would you in this room, because you don't follow me day and night, some of you see me once a week or twice a week, some of you a little bit more, but how would you know that I loved Vicky? What are some of the questions you would ask? Yeah, but how would you find out if I loved her?
By how you treat her.
Look on your Facebook. Woo! It's in my notes. Yeah.
All you'll see is food.
Is it?
He has super cute things.
You can see on Facebook. Is it Facebook? Is there a Facebook worthy, right, for the relationship? What else? How else would you? What questions would you ask her?
I asked her about things about you and like people who don't, I don't know, like with me, like somebody asks me a question or something I don't like, I gotta think of something. Because they don't want to seem like a jerk and we gotta think of something that's good about them. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, yeah, well, yeah, they're, you know, how about aren't they good at? Good at talking, you got a nice voice. But like if someone like really cares about you, you'd be like, oh my goodness, like you have no idea, like you're so passionate, you're so caring, you wake up and like hug me. He won't let me go. He's like, I
say,
I'm
here
for work, and
I'm
gonna push
him
off of me.
Woo!
Yeah. So it's just like, how quick they can think of like true love, like examples.
That's good. Yeah.
Cool. Straight to the point. Why are you with him?
Woo! Yeah, that's Kevin. That's Kevin's MO. Straight to the point. Yeah. Any other questions? Any other questions you would ask to see if I loved Vicky?
I would probably ask Vicky, how does John make you feel?
Ooh,
makes
you feel.
But you know what? You knew Vicky before the transformation in John, and you knew Vicky now, you would see in Vicky a joy and a contentment and a demeanor of security that was not there before. Yeah.
And you only see her once a week or twice a week. How about how often do you get her gifts?
Not often enough.
I got you flowers for. I got you flowers. I don't have to defend my love. How about? Hey, are you faithful? Uh-huh. That's a big deal, right? How am I faithful? But yeah, is it on Facebook? Is it Facebook official?
No, Facebook could be an image.
Facebook could be an image. Yeah, yeah.
Any of those things
can be an image. Yeah. What emotions arise when I hear her name? Panic. Do I have the house clean? Is dinner good enough? How often do we communicate?
Did I buy the right stuff for
her? Yeah, did I buy? Oh, struggle is real. Would I die for her? What do I give up for her? Those things are proof. And I know that a lot of them you can fake, not for a long time, not for 20 years, maybe for a week, but for the most part, you can't fake that stuff.
You fill each other's love tank up. Woo!
Ooh. Now we're talking like therapist love language. That's awesome. Kevin, that'll be the after service. So what I want to present is I want to look at what the stumbling block is, and I really believe the stumbling block is love. If I don't love, then I don't stumble. I don't stumble when temptation comes around. I don't even second guess it. I look at the devil and he offers up a slip and slide, straight into isolation, straight into unholiness, straight into whatever the temptation is. Woo, it's fun at first, but at the end of the day, it leaves you empty and isolated and needing more. I have a friend. I have I have a friend. I have a few friends. I have some of... I have a friend, and her name is Vicky. I have some friends that are in the non-Christian sector. They're my other friends. And one of them in particular, a very charismatic guy, he's involved in a club that I'm in the cigar club. And I go out with him occasionally, and there's stories that he's a newfie. And the stories that he shares, I know I shouldn't be laughing at them. When I come home from a night, I'm like, Vicky, anoint me with oil. There's things I laughed at, I shouldn't have. His girlfriend is a very typical blonde model type looking one. And she works at a strip club as a bartender. So one night, it was about 2 a.m, and we got some McDonald's, and there was a party at the strip club to celebrate the Christmas season. And he says, Ruby, I'm way too drunk, drive me to the strip club, and it's a free party, come hang out. Like, I know you don't drink, but it's all cool, it's all staff, and it'll be, it's a good time. And you know, they'll be there till 4 a.m, we can smoke cigars and do whatever. And I didn't hesitate to say no. I said, I can't do that. Here's the Uber number. and the reason why is because of my love for Vicky. I didn't want to, there's no way in that moment she would ever know. Like, they're not going to tell her. They don't even barely know her. They're not going to tell her. They're going to hide it. I'll come home at 4 o'clock instead of 2:30. We're hanging out. but because I love her, I don't hesitate to say, no, I can't do that, bro. Sorry. I did that. It didn't work out too well. My marriage is more valuable to me than going to a strip club. So are you getting the picture?
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how the sorry makes sense.
How the what?
What does it mean? Like, why do you say sorry?
I don't know. I didn't say sorry. Who did I say sorry to?
To the guy who invited you to the strip
club. Oh, excuse me. It's just an expression. Not like, oh, I apologize. Yeah. I'm just saying, hey, bro, can't go. Like, it's not a, no offense. Not to offend you because you're down in that world and I'm not judging you. That's what it means. Okay. Sorry.
I understand that.
Thank you. Ooh. Throwing a curveball and I hit that. Thanks for the help. Oh, that's cool.
He wouldn't apologize. They know he's a Christian and he's had lots of spiritual conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They look at me adoringly. Like they razz me and stuff, but they razz everybody. But I enter their world and they enjoy me and ask me questions and yeah, it's cool. And a lot of people that I would assume, like all non-Christians, haven't lived a drug addicted lifestyle. And so sometimes I get talking about it because I think they can relate and they're like, you've done what? You were in what? Okay, tell me more. And so it opens up doors to talk about that was my solution and now it's not. And I've had many conversations with this guy, especially because he's one of those guys searching and filling and has the look and the outside appearance and the arm candy and all this stuff, but his life's a disaster and he knows it.
Jesus said for us to be in the world, not others.
That's right.
We don't go out into the world to where the non-Christians are, how
can
we minister to?
Yeah. Is Jesus my stumbling block in the greater mission of my life? What am I saying no to? What am I sacrificing? Or am I doing whatever I want, whatever makes me feel good or look good? My friend Glenn Floyd has a whole concept on failing forward. And I think that it's a process. And at the beginning, we fail a lot and go, oh, there's the rumble strip. Oh, the guilt. Oh, the anxiety of having to confess, all that stuff. I think that concept of failing forward and not being perfect, not striving for perfection, but for what love is, and I know that your first day, your first year in love won't be like your fifth or your tenth, if you truly love. The I didn't realize we jumped around to Matthew so much. But in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me." Are you going to hear, "Well done, faithful servant"? Or are you going to hear, "Go away"? I know from working in addiction for 9 years and from being in addiction myself, I have said so many things that I didn't even believe at the end. "Honey, I'll be right back." And I'm walking out the door going, "I could be right back, but I doubt it. I might be 3 days. I don't even know." Right? I've heard so many promises in recovery. "I will never." "Oh, bro, you can trust me." I've heard it all, but at the end of the day, it's your actions. And even if you are in a recovery home and you're cheating and you've slipped and you're hiding it, at the end of the day, who gets hurt? You. At the end of the day, in judgment day, who are you going to fool? "Wow, you fooled all us. Wow, you smoked weed at a rehab center. Wow." You're only fooling yourself. There's lots of us that say, I know Jesus. I love Jesus." But are your actions saying that? Are you on the slip and slide of life? "Because I love Vicky, I am." Right? I'm buying gifts. I'm sacrificing. I'm giving my time. I'm doing my best to get the lunch stuff that she needs, even though I threw out stuff from last week. "Because I love my neighbor, I am. Because I love God the Father, I am. I'm sacrificing my time. My money is not mine." Right? "My children don't have to have the best of the best of the..." I'm not running around feeding my ego and living for self. I'm worried about how to serve other people, how to give, how to be a part of, how to be in relationship with. So my one question, or my one catch is, and probably lots of you will be able to relate, is, "Wow, that sounds easy. Oh, this rumble strips of life. But what's happened to me, I'm unable to love. I'm unable to receive." And I can relate with that, because I never was able to receive love due to the wounds of my childhood. I was always wanted love, and I would make you prove that you love me. "See, you don't love me. You spank me." And I would always try to make you prove that you loved me. And then finally, you wouldn't. You would prove that you didn't, even though you did. But it was a thing that I was never able to receive. Right? So what gets in the way of that? We get in the way. We get in the way with fears, resentment, our own hurts. But how do we overcome that? Is that we have to be in community. I look forward to Sundays. Not that I see everybody all the time throughout the week. I see most of you at least once. But because we all have other worlds, I love coming together on a Sunday and like eating waffles and hanging out and hearing the stories and all that stuff. I love being together. It gives me energy. We have to be in a healing, we have to pursue Jesus. We have to pursue that relationship. We have to be willing. I think that's our key, is as long as we're willing, God does the rest. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to heal your wounds. He wants to give you belief. He wants for faith. He wants for trust. And he wants all for love. And so, even though some of you are sitting here, it's like, I'm still doing this. I'm failing at all of this. Oh, I must not love Jesus. Some of you have to go, okay, well, why not? Why am I living for myself? And the rumble strips will get louder and louder. Amen? That makes sense?
And a half.
All right. Father, I just thank you that you want a relationship much more than we do with you for the most of the time. And as we come to you, the rumble strips are loud of fear and anxiety and guilt and not feeling self-worth and not being able to receive love. But you do want to restore and make us whole. So, Father, I just pray that those rumble strips in our lives become louder and louder, and medication can't fix it, and other wells can't feed that thirst, and we have no other option but to come to you. So, Father, I thank you for the men and women here that are on the straight and narrow, that you are saying, good job, faithful servant. Continue to give us warnings. Continue to keep us on that straight and narrow in community. Let us hear each other's voices. So, Father, we just thank you for the week ahead. Show us and give us the strength to pick up our cross daily. Give us eyes to see where we can help others and die of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Any comments? Any...